the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James from the ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha, and ran into a keynote speaker today, Dr. Elliot Eisenberg. Great to see you.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
Okay. Before we jump in, the name of the company, I love that. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, my name of the company is Graphs and Laughs. It's Graphs because I'm an economist, and it's Laughs because I'm funny. You want to be a funny economist, and it's important to differentiate yourself from everybody else. I wear a bow tie, and I climb on chairs sometimes in my speeches. You want to make economics fun. It's really important. It's a serious business, but it doesn't have to be boring. I think that's the critical thing, and I try and make it, even if the news is bad, we're going to have a good time going through the data and looking and analyzing it.
Well, don't guess there's any way to sugarcoat recession.
You hit the nail on the head. The recession's coming. The Fed's raised rates quite a lot, and they're not finished raising rates. By the time we finish this rate rising cycle, they're probably going to raise rates by another 100 basis points, or roughly 1 percentage point, probably half a percentage point at the next meeting in early December, and then another half a point, maybe 0.75 point in the first couple, 2 or 3 meetings next year. So we'll end up being a little over 5% on Fed's funds. In less than a year, we'll have gone from 0 to over 5%. It's a big increase. The recession will come sometime in 23, and probably second or third quarter is my guess, maybe late first quarter, but it's almost guaranteed at this point.
If we're talking recession, are we talking just a recession in the U.S., or are we talking global?
Great question. Wow. And the recession's largely global. Europe's going to go into a recession. Europe may already be in a recession. Britain certainly is in a recession, and Germany is, and they'll probably pull the rest of the economy with it. Canada's going to go into a recession, too, because household debt's much too high. House prices are coming down, and so on. So there's a synchronized rate-rising cycle going on with almost all central banks in the world, with the exception of Japan and China raising rates for one-off reasons. But a synchronized rate-rising cycle, that makes it worse. Traditionally, North America's in one part of the cycle, but Europe's in another, Asia's somewhere else. But now, Thailand, Indonesia, they're all raising rates at the same time. And the spillovers from one to the other make the likelihood of recession still higher. So it'll probably be somewhat of a global recession. Or, every country won't go in recession, but every country will slow down. Many will go into recession.
Energy prices. Is that a contributor to this? Is it a separate issue? Either way, it's hard to handle.
Yeah. With the energy price problem on the gasoline, that oil side, prices went from $20 a barrel at the worst of COVID, March, April, roughly, and negative for some days on the spot market, up to $120 a barrel over about a year and a half, 2 year period. That consistent increase in the price of oil, that's what drove energy inflation primarily. Now, on top of that, there's natural gas issues, which are also, natural gas prices have generally risen. They've come down of late, but they've generally risen as well because of the Russian cutoff of the Nord Stream pipeline that never really got going, and the Russians cutting off, not Nord Stream 2, but the cutting off of Nord Stream. So the Europeans are starved for natural gas, so the Americans now are selling more gas, liquefying it and shipping it across to Rotterdam and so on. So the Americans are selling more. The Europeans need more desperately. A main source of natural gas, the Russians are cut off a large extent. So natural gas prices aren't going to come down to that $2 and $3 per million BTU price anytime soon. I think we're going to be living with a $5, $6 price of natural gas. It's going to come down from 9 or 10, or 8 or 9 where it was. But we're not going back there because the global demand is much stronger than it was, and Russia's largely cut off.
Makes me wonder about some of the alternative energy sources. How does that factor into all this?
They're important, and we're slowly going to go green. There's no question. The cost of wind and solar, especially wind, has come down dramatically. The problem is you can't store that energy very well. So batteries become the limiting factor. Can you get the grid to those locations where the windmills are and the solar farms are? And how do you store that energy? So until batteries become really prevalent and the price comes well down, yeah, you can generate the power, but you can't hold on to it. So we're not there yet, but it's over the decade, we'll probably get there. There's policy in Washington, D.C. Prices come down naturally and so on and so forth, but we're not there yet.
70 words. What How do you tie back into 70 words?
So I began sending out a daily Facebook post about 12 years ago. And Facebook at that time limited you to 420 characters in the box. Now they don't have that anymore. You can have unlimited space. But I thought, well, 420 characters, that's roughly 70 words. I'm going to keep it to that one box. I want to be current with the cool people getting Facebook. This is 12 years ago, no longer so cool. But I thought that's a bite-sized amount of economic information. And people like it. It now goes to, you know, tens of thousands, I think 30,000 people, last I checked, daily receive my daily 70-word update on economics, the economy. It's a nice, fun way to share my information, keep me top of mind, educate people, give something back to the community, and so on and so forth. I love doing it. It's like mental exercise. How can you take some phenomena and shrink it down to 70 words and make it a complete thought? It's not going to be continued tomorrow. It's self-contained and useful information. Fun.
Okay. So if you were using an analogy for how to protect and how to prepare going into a recession, let's use a goalie in the five hole. You want to protect the five hole here.
Always.
So what can producers be doing as we move into 2023?
The thing is, think about A, your spending patterns. What are you spending money on that you don't have to spend? Go through all your list of items. Make sure everything you're buying is value for money and is useful. And the recession, weaker economic conditions may change what you do. So beware, keep what's worth money and do you need it? And then do you expand your business and say, hey, one of my competitors is going to go out of business. I'm going to expand my farm. I'm going to buy some used equipment. Or by contrast, I'm going to sell some equipment because I'm not going to need it because I'm going to be able to rent it more cheaply or whatever it is. So you want to rejigger your firm, your farm, your business to accommodate what's likely to happen. So you think maybe I can hire some good people for my company. Or maybe I'll have to shrink the size of my payroll. It depends on where you are and what you do, of course. But the recession's coming. You don't want to do things necessarily the way you have. You want to rethink all your operations and your business.
If we want to find you online or through Facebook, how do we do that?
Econ70 is my website, 70 words a day, ECON70. At Econ70 is my LinkedIn. Elliot F. Eisenberg is on Facebook, and my email is elliot@graphsandlaughs.net.
Dr. Elliot Eisenberg from the ABA Ag Bankers Conference in Omaha. I'm Tony St. James. It's the Agribusiness Report.